extraordinary expectation to everyone's satisfaction. If this were the whole story, and we who are in the Christian ministry or about to enter the Christian ministry would be scared to death, and we would call it quits. But this is not the whole story. And it was not the whole story to Luther, our speaker, who sent it to his audience. The same God who sent his holy angels to say to the shepherds when the Christ was born, "Fear not." And who later sent his holy angels to say to the women at the empty tomb, "Fear not," is the same God who says to us of today, "Fear not." The same God who said to the elect of Israel centuries ago says to us of today, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." To be a faithful minister of Jesus Christ, it is important that we remember that the same message we preach to others is also for us. I can well remember how frequently the now famous King Smith used to emphasize that to us when we occupied your place here at the seminary. The same Spirit of God who becomes active through the Word that you bring to people, to convince them of sin, to comfort them with the forgiveness of sins through the precious blood of the Lamb of God, to assure them that they are the sons and daughters of God, to give them confidence for victorious living, and finally to lead them successfully through this life to eternal life. The same Spirit of God, pray God, must become active in your personal life. So fear not, but with a Spirit's message of victory, determined joyfully and victoriously to carry on your Christian ministry. I'm not going to speak much of your Christian ministry, but I ask you with me to apply just a few of the truths of our text to our own personal spiritual life. The word before us presents to us the Spirit's message of victory. We read in our text, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Our text is one of those post-Easter epistle selections. Although the Easter event is not directly mentioned, the triumph of that Easter victory pervades the entire passage. St. John, the inspired writer, stands at the close of the apostolic age. Some 60 years have passed when, after hours of sorrow and defeat with a master in the grave, St. John stands before the open tomb, and he saw and he believed. And soon after, with his companions, began the conquest of the world with that confident message of Thomas, "My Lord and my God." And St. John writes these words. He is the only survivor of that glorious company of apostles. His brother James and his good friend Peter have laid down their lives on the battlefield. And the others too have fought a good fight, and they have changed the cause, and they have received the victor's crown. St. John lived long enough to see the church planted throughout the Roman Empire. And he saw the church attacked to be good. But he also saw how the church was constantly counterattacking and always winning new victories with the word of the cross and the word of the empty grave. The church is a militant church. St. John in our text shows us the nature of this conflict and the secret of victory. He puts the spotlight on the opposing battle line. The world on the one hand, and whatsoever is born of God on the other hand. It is turned world in our text. And John is not speaking of this beautiful world that God created. But he is speaking of the ethical, of the moral world, of the world that is opposed to God, of the world that tries to keep man away from God and keep him from keeping his commandments. In the previous chapter, St. John had given us a number of the marks of this world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Angelism, materialism, worldliness, living as though there were no God. There is no escape from this world. There is no victory over this world. Except to be through a new birth into God's world. There is no victory in this world unless there is a transfer from the realm of death into the realm of life. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Or the next phrase, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Or read on. It is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. The new birth and faith are thus identical. Faith, believing in Christ, means to receive him, to surrender to him, to trust him, to make his victory over sin, death, and the world our victory. Faith in Jesus means to live in Jesus and to live for Jesus. All of this, of course, involves a radical change. It involves a radical change for the man in the pew. But it also involves a radical change for the man in the pulpit. The sacrificial love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ must rub off on us and kindle a light love within our hearts and within our lives. An entrance into the service of our Lord Jesus must be death unto sin. A union with our Lord Jesus must be death to the world, to this moral, to the moral disorder in this world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This victory became yours and became mine. The very moment that you and I became to faith. But, beloved friends, it is a battle, and it is a victory that must be repeated every day. The world our Lord has been defeated. As he laid hold of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his victory for us, it is constantly counterattacking. And the devil, the old evil foe, he never knows when to say die, but he is constantly battling for our souls. Perhaps this is the reason for John's rhetorical question. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe us. Continues to believe. The Christian's daily call is to keep the eyes and the heart fixed upon the captain. The sacrificial death for us and the glorious victory in the empty tomb must be appropriated every day. That's the reason, no doubt, that one of our preachers suggested as a theme for this passage. Every day is Easter Day for the Christian. The object of victorious Christian faith is that Jesus is the Christ. only in verse 5. That Jesus is the Son of God. Note the fact, Jesus is. 60 years after Mount Calvary and the empty tomb, St. John wrote, Jesus is. And on May 3rd, 1961, we still say, Jesus is. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of God, the living Lord of Easter. And the advocate with the Father is the object of faith. And that is what makes us unafraid of the world. Unafraid no matter what the conditions may be in the world. Unafraid no matter what the conditions may be in the church. To carry on the message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to all people to whom we are called. To underscore this vital element in genuine Christian faith, St. John writes, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Here in three words, water and blood. I believe that St. John takes in the whole scope and the whole purpose of Jesus' coming. Through his baptism in Jordan's water, he was consecrated for his messianic work. And by the blood of the Passion, he completes his work of redeeming, of saving mankind. And you see, that's the evidence. That's the evidence that the water and the blood was sufficient and acceptable to our Father in heaven. And now St. John says that in all of this, do not forget, it is the Spirit that beareth this. Because the Spirit is truth. This is the Spirit's message of victory. It is the Holy Spirit that bears witness. And that being true, listen. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness of himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Dear my fellow Christians, you and I stand before a great decision. Is the Jesus of history, the Jesus of Nazareth, is he the Christ? Is he the Son of God? Is he the Savior of the world? Is he then? Is he that in your own personal life? Will he do that to the people to whom you will be called and to whom you are called? The story of his life, in the Spirit given, verbally inspired, inerrant records of the gospel says, that he most certainly is. And St. John in our text places the issue squarely before us of acceptance or of rejection of the witness. It is a witness then that will either make us feel calm and peace and less secure, confident, joyful, or it is a witness that will make us quail, that will prick our tongue, that will make us break out in a cold sweat. The witness of the Holy Spirit, I believe, came to us through our text in this very hour. Vitally important for our own personal life. Vitally important for our Christian ministry. Eternally important to those to whom we minister.
He that hath believed upon the Son of God hath the witness in himself. But he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And friends, brethren in the ministry, candidates for the Christian ministry, Christian friends are, for your comfort, for your confidence, for the cause, personal living, for a happy, joyous ministry. Remember, this is the record, the spirit record of victory, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.